you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed. You just remember what your past said, for you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. That's the National Campus and Community Radio Association networks throughout British Columbia and throughout Canada. And of course, you're tuning in to the Community Living Show. My name's Kelly Rayburn. I'll be in for the next hour or so, unless Michael pitches in to talk about some other issues and stuff. But we're going to get right through it. Of course, last week we were talking to Shannon, who is involved with the radio, I guess, TV show as well on Autism Live. So if you want more information about their thing on Autism Live, or if you'd like to have a free newsletter, check out their website, www.autism-live.com/join-r-email-list to get their free newsletter. Of course, Autism Live is a production of the Center for Autism and Related Disorders, known as CAR, that is also headquarters in Canada, but with their offices, they're also available around the globe. For more information on their therapy and autism-related disorders, visit CARD website at www.centerforautism.com. So here is, we're going to play you for just the hour show, unless Michael, we have the phone ringing. Hey, Michael, you're on the air. Is that you, Michael?
Yep.
Hi there. How are you?
Good.
So, I was going to play the Autism Live, but obviously okay. You're here.
Yeah, I don't really have any guests or anything, so.
Yeah, I can understand that. All right.
Okay. You just want to play the Autism Live?
I was going to do that. Unless you have some sort of events you wanted to bring up and stuff.
Nope.
Nope? Okay.
Right this second.
You're what?
I don't have anything right now.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So we are, and of course, I mentioned we are live right now. So.
Okay.
Alrighty.
All right.
So, and again, you're tuning into the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks, and of course, both on Co-op Radio, our flagship station, CFRO 100.5 FM for a half-hour show, and then, of course, our full-hour show on CITR 101.9 FM. Mm-hmm. All right? Do you want to play it now?
Yeah.
All right, we'll play it, and we will be right back.
Good morning and welcome to Autism Live. I'm Shannon Penrod, and we are coming to you live from the Warner Center in Woodland Hills, California. Thrilled to be here with you on this Wednesday morning, and we've got a lot of stuff that we're going to cover. And if you particularly like it when I pop off, welcome. There's much to pop off about. I want to start by telling you it's Wednesday, and usually on Wednesday we do things a little bit differently. And we generally have Dr. Doreen Grampuchet here with us in the morning. And I misspoke and said that she was going to be here this morning, and I was completely, apparently I missed an email that she is not in, I don't even think she's in the country. She's not here in any case, and somehow I missed out on that. It's okay, because there's so much to talk about, and something in particular very near and dear to my heart that we need to talk about, and then I might pop off a little bit about. But a little bit later on in the show, we also have Let's Talk Autism with Shannon and Nancy, and today is the first day of our Festival of Toys 2016. And for those of you who've never been here for the Festival of Toys, let me just say, I get really excited about this because I'm a former educator. I, you know, former educator, you're always an educator, right? I love games, and I love the teaching opportunities that comes with games and toys. So our very special guest a little bit later on in the show is going to be Brian Turtle from Endless Games, one of my favorite companies. And you can see we've got some of their toys here on the desk. We're going to play a little bit later on, and we're going to talk about the importance of play and why play is so educational. I love. And every day, and sometimes every hour, we're going to feature a different toy or a different line of toys and talk about why it's good for some of our kids on the autism spectrum, or why it's good for all of our kids on the autism spectrum, and how to utilize a toy or a game, how to use it to tease out more skills for our kids, right? And the thing that I particularly love about our toys and games that we highlight is that they are, for the most part, they are not toys that are specifically designed for kiddos who are on the autism spectrum. They're like toys that you can go and get and give to other people in your family that are not on the spectrum, and they can be playing with kids who are on the spectrum. But if we just utilize them in a specific way or pay attention to a couple of details, we're actually building skills for our kids. So as a parent, I love that there's an element to it that just looks like everybody else's life, because we all crave that, right? But there's an underbelly to it that is superlative in the education department, teaching a wide range of things from conversation and language skills to turn-taking, social skills, knowing when somebody else is lying. Those are good skills. Being able to tell a white lie ourselves, that's an essential skill for safety. So we're going to be, the whole next month, we're going to spend a lot of time talking about toys and games and giving our personal recommendations for things that we think are super fabulous. And it all starts, couldn't start with a better person and company than Brian Turtle and Endless Games, because they do it on a wonderful scale. So we're going to be talking about that. But I do need to remind you that our entire show is meant to be interactive. We want you to participate with us. We want to know your thoughts, your feelings, your questions. I know that we have a lot of new viewers who are watching the show who found us over the weekend because of a bizarre turn of events. We welcome you to the show. We do encourage you to write in and let your thoughts and feelings and concerns and questions be known. I will tell you, though, that we don't allow for hate speech at all. It's just like a zero tolerance policy. So we're all learning how to self-regulate, right? Because sometimes you get upset and angry, but we don't allow for anybody to speak bully to anyone else. So no swearing and no name calling. Okay. And that even goes for me, right? Okay. So having said that, Samantha's going to show you some of the different ways that you can communicate with us, some of the different ways that you can be watching the show. While she does that, I want to remind you that our homepage is, in fact, www.autism-live.com. There's a lot of things to do there. You can go there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and you'll see that it looks like a desktop. A very clean desktop. I assure you my desktop doesn't look like that. But you can click on the triangle that's on the computer screen, and that will start the most recent show playing or the live show playing, whichever we happen to be doing. And you can, if it's a recorded show, you'll be able to tell because you can fast forward and rewind and do all that fun stuff. Now, if you wanted to watch a show that's further back in our archives, you can click on the memo tab that's in the upper left-hand corner, and that gives you the ability to watch the 100 most recent shows here at Autism Live. If you want to go back further in the archives, or you want to search the archives for topics, there are lots of places to do that. We're available on iTunes, and we have our own YouTube channel. We have a channel on Roku. We're on Stitcher, all those wonderful places, and you can do that and search there. Now, but when you're on the homepage, one of the great things that you can do is interact with us. There's something we call the live feature that's just to the side of the computer screen. If you put your cursor in the box that says your questions, you type and you hit enter, and it shows up here on my screen. And we got a lot of comments over the weekend about a certain video that we'll talk about a little bit later that a lot of you have been watching and having thoughts and feelings about. And everybody's thoughts and feelings are welcome and appreciated. We do read, and I'm behind on the ones on YouTube because there's over 4,000 of them. I'm trying to catch up. And we are going to talk more about that topic, about that video a little bit later on. But I got a new subject I want to pop off on today. But when you write into us, all you have to do is write and hit enter. There's no login, there's no username, there's no password, there's no credit card information. We don't know who you are. You have complete and total anonymity, which is great, unless you want us specifically to answer you back, in which case you do need to include an email or something like that. When you do that, I don't share it with the audience. I have the choice of showing comments or not showing comments. So if they're personal in nature, or you're giving personal information, or if you say something that's inappropriate, we did have some people write in and say some things that were inappropriate. There were some names that were called of me and a lot of other people. And, you know, that's part and parcel, I think, of a lot of what's wrong in the world today. And we don't have to resort to calling people names. I don't think so. But in any case, you're welcome to bring your thoughts and feelings and concerns, and please tell me how you feel. It's important to express how you feel. Okay, having said all that, I want to take a short break, and then a whole lot of controversy in the last 24 hours about Jeff Sessions and something that he said in the year 2000 about education, about IDEA, and a lot of people having some thoughts and feelings and concerns about it. I want to talk about it, but I want to move the conversation forward. So stick with me, because we're going to go on a ride. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to be back to talk about what Mr. Sessions said is the problem in American schools. All right. Stick with us.
And of course, you're tuning in to Autism Live. That was taped on November 30th, 2016. We are going to take a break as ourselves too. And we will be back in a moment. You're tuning into the Community Living Show on the NCRA radio networks, both on CFRO and CITR. We will be back.
The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of every year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting inclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adapted technology, and more. Contact your local stations to find out more.
Hey there. This ad caught your attention. It also caught the attention of the coolest people from Squamish to Bellingham, music fans, students, and members of various cultural communities. If you want your ad to do the same, advertise with CITR and Discorder. If you've got a rad new ad or just something you want to share, whether in print, on air, or online, promote your wares, services, or events with us. Contact us at advertising@citr.ca or call 604-822-4342. Visit CITR.ca for rates, information, and packages. This is the end of our ad, and if you're still here, we must be doing something right.
And you're back on the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. That's National Campus Community Radio Association Networks across BC and Canada. We're both on two radio stations, CITR 101.9 FM. That's our full hour, and streaming online at CITR.ca. And of course, our half hour show, Co-op Radio CFRO 100.5 FM. And of course, their website, cooperadio.org. And we're going to continue playing the Autism Live that was happened on November 30th. And for more information, go to www.autism-live or centerforautism.com.
Oh, Mr. McKnight. Just what we all needed was a little Brian McKnight, right? How wonderful to hear his wonderful voice. And the two young men who were in that video, Wyatt Jackson, Nancy Allspaugh Jackson's son, and Carter T. Tierro. We've had Vaina Tierro on the show before. So both amazing young men who had a wonderful opportunity to meet with Mr. McKnight. There was a third young man who was there. Bakari Tierro was there to meet with Mr. McKnight, but he had a meltdown and wasn't able to get out of the car. And it was very enlightening to a lot of people to see the difference between these, and Mr. McKnight commented on the difference between these three young men. At three young men on the autism spectrum with different issues, with different problems and different things to overcome. Because as we know, as Dr. Stephen Shore says, when you've met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism. And this kind of segues into what I want to talk about next. There's been a firestorm on the internet. There's a couple of firestorms going on right now. And we're going to talk about pretty much all of them that have to do with autism, because that's what we talk about here. But the one that I want to focus on during this hour is Senator Jeff Sessions, who has, Mr. Trump has given him the nod for the Attorney General position here in the United States. And there are lots of people that are posting lots of different things and saying, you know, how, let's, you know, take a look at how he might be as our Attorney General. And one thing that came to light in the last week and that's been posted everywhere are some comments that he made on the floor of the Senate as a senator on May 18th in the year 2000. It was a speech entitled Education, Discipline, and IDEA. And there have been some quotes extracted that people have been really angry about. Myself included. I'm going to be honest about that. It makes me angry when people make comments and we blame the child. When we blame the child, I feel that we let everyone down. We were all children at one point, and there's been a lot said. So I want to back up, and I want to read to you from the actual speech. And then I want to talk about some things that are very disturbing to me based on this, because I fear that sometimes people can stand up and sound incredibly reasonable and go, this is wrong. And it's very easy for other people to go, oh my gosh, that is wrong. When it's not entirely factual, and I'm going to use the word ignorant. And when I say ignorant, I don't mean it in all the negative connotations about ignorance. Ignorance is when you do not have knowledge. And in this case, I believe that that is, and ignorance is not something to be ashamed of. Ignorance is not something that we should go, oh, well, so-and-so is ignorant. Because ignorant doesn't mean that you can't learn. It just means that you aren't aware of this. And I believe that if we take awareness and give it to people, there are things that I am ignorant to and I want to learn. And that's how we grow, right? But I don't want people to just stop and go, oh, well, this is, so let me start. This is what Mr. Sessions, I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's 15 pages, but he begins and he says, Mr. President, I want to share some additional thoughts with the members of the Senate and those watching what we can do to improve education in America. Well, yay, rah-ray, right? I believe in public education, he goes on to say. Oh, good, thank goodness. I have taught and my wife has taught in public schools. All right. I say that to express how deeply I care about it. We have been active in PTA as our kids have gone forward. We want to improve the system. We want to make learning occur more regularly. I don't think anybody could be in disagreement with that, right? We want to help teachers. Yay. I believe in American teachers, he goes on to say. Good, so do I. They are some of the finest in the world. They are well trained. Now there, Mr. Sessions, is where you and I part. Because of what you're going to go on and say, I don't think that they're, let's say this, how, you know, when a teacher's, and I'm a former teacher, lots of classroom experience, more than a decade of classroom experience. And I can speak to the fact that we, and you know, and I'm also very involved in the PTA, we have a situation going on in classrooms, which you're going to go on to talk about, but we've not given our teachers training for that. We haven't. And I defy you to show me where we have. Okay, so he says, they are well-trained. They give their hearts and souls to it, only to be frustrated by regulations, paperwork, and discipline problems resulting from mandated rules passed by this Congress. I'm going to share some thoughts today, and those in education in any state of America will know what I am saying is true. They will have heard these kinds of examples time and time again, but the vast majority of Americans will not believe it. They will not believe these things occur. Over 25 years ago, for example, we passed a Federal Disabilities Act. It was designed to mandate to school systems and require that they not shut out disabled kids from the classroom and that they be involved in the classroom. If they have a hearing loss or a sight loss, or if they have difficulty moving around in a wheelchair or whatever, the school system must make accommodations for them. They would be mainstreamed. They would not be treated separately. That was a good idea, a goal from which we should not retreat. I hope no one interprets what I say today as a retreat from that goal. But in the course of time, we have created a complex system of federal regulations and laws that have created lawsuit after lawsuit, special treatment for certain children, and that are a big factor in accelerating the decline in civility and discipline in classrooms all over America. I say that very sincerely. Teachers I have been talking to have shared stories with me. I have been in 15 schools around Alabama this year. I have talked to them about a lot of subjects. I ask them about this subject in every school I go to, and I am told in every school that this is a major problem for them. In fact, it may be the single most irritating problem for teachers throughout America today. It was really brought to my attention a little over a year ago when a longtime friend, District Attorney David Whetstone in Baldwin County, Alabama, called me about a youngster in the school system classified as having a disability. It is called emotional conflict. He was emotionally conflicted. He could not or would not behave. An aide would meet him in the morning at his home, get on the bus with him and go to school, sit through the class all day, and ride home on the school bus with him. This student was known to curse principals and teachers openly in the classroom. Because he was a disabled student, he could not be disciplined in the normal way. The maximum 10-day suspension rule and 45 days is the maximum a child can be disciplined under this federal law, and then they are back in the classroom. One day, he attacked the school bus driver on the way home. The aide tried to restrain him, and then he attacked the aide. District Attorney Whetstone told me, I was never more stunned when I talked to the school officials, and they told me this is common in our country. We have children we cannot control because of this federal law. He came to Washington, and he sat up in the gallery, and we talked about it. I respect David Whetstone and his views. As a matter of fact, this very incident was focused on in Time magazine. There was a full-page story about it called The Meanest Kid in Alabama, and 60 Minutes did a story about it because it is, unfortunately, so common around the country. What can we do about it? I began to ask leaders in the education around the state. The state superintendent said, absolutely, it's one of the biggest problems we have. I talked to Paul Hubbard, head of teachers union in Alabama. Absolutely, it's a big problem. I'm tired, he said in the newspaper recently, of children cursing my teachers in the classroom and nothing being done about it. Then we began to talk to teachers, principals, and school board superintendents. They talked about the lawyers and the complicated regulations with which they deal. It is really unacceptable. Teachers who have been trained with master's degree in special education to deal with these children have also overwhelmingly told me that this is not a healthy thing, that we're telling special children with physical disabilities or disabilities as defined by the federal law that they don't have to adhere to the same standards other children do. Right in the classroom, we create, by federal law, two separate standards for American citizens. You can say to one child, you can't do this, or you're out of school. But we can say to another child, you can't do it, And you can do it, and you're only out 10 days or maybe 45 days, and then you're back in the classroom. That is not defensible. Okay, I want to stop there. So I want to say to Mr. Sessions, here's the problem with your logic. There are some things that I agree with you about that we can meet in the middle about. And for everybody who has been defending this, I want, just for a moment, stop and consider that from the beginning, let's start right from the beginning, the idea that it's not okay for anyone, regardless of disability, to behave in a way that is socially unacceptable. It's not okay to hit people. It's not, and he goes on to quote people who say that children brought guns to school. None of that is okay. And please don't think that I'm saying that that is okay. It isn't. And here's the other thing. IDEA doesn't protect kids against doing those behaviors. What it does do, and several people have written in on Facebook and said, when we set up a system where, kids are all special snowflakes and we coddle them and we don't allow for discipline, that we're setting up these horrible circumstances. And aren't all kids special and unique? Yes, all kids are special and unique. And one of the things that we've done in our public school system is we've set up a system where we feel like if somebody does something bad, let's punish them. And our punish, and now I'm talking about the neurotypical kids. So if a neurotypical kid comes in and swears at the teacher, then, according to what Mr. Sessions says here, then that child, if you don't behave this way, then you get sent home. That it's just that simple. Except that that's not entirely the truth, right? All children in the United States have a right to a free, appropriate public education. All children, not just children with IEPs. We need to educate our kids. And when we get into this mindset of, oh, when you don't fit in and you can't behave in the way that we have set up, we've made some rules and we've said, this is what it takes to be successful in this place, and if you can't adhere to that, then you're out. Now, I just want to ask you, where does that child go? Where does that child, and I'm talking about the neurotypical kids right now, the ones that swear at the teacher and they got kicked out. Because this is the premise here, that we've set up this unequal thing and that there's kids that we're throwing out of schools for bad behavior, but if they've got something else going on, we don't throw them out, and that's what's wrong. Where do the kids go that don't behave well and get kicked out of school? Because there's a name for that, and it's called the pipeline to prison. That's what that's called. We need to educate our kids. And more of our kids are having behavior problems. And some of them, it's a documented disability, and some of them, it's not. But our kids, you're right, it is a problem. And as a former classroom teacher, I can tell you, it's overwhelming when you go into a classroom and the class size is 35, 40. At one point, I had an English class, a 10th grade English class that I was responsible for teaching, and I had 52 students in the classroom. 52. Now, later on, and before and after that, I was a college professor, and sometimes I had 250 students in a survey type of classroom, a lecture hall kind of thing. But in a high school, in a 10th grade English class, when you're going to teach Huckleberry Finn, 52 kids. And by the way, not enough books. Not enough books for all 52 kids. Okay. You're going to have some behavior problems. There's no way you're not going to have behavior problems. And it's not all about diagnoses, right? But for some of our kids, there is a diagnosis. And there needs to be a line. Because as you said about this meanest child in Alabama, he either couldn't or wouldn't behave. And there's a difference, actually. Because for the kid who has Tourette's, swearing at the principal is not a choice, right? By the way, there are behavioral things that can be done to help to minimize that. But it's not a choice. So if a child has Tourette's, you're saying, according to this, that child goes home to do what? What exactly are they doing when they go home? Okay, so what if we just had a shift here and instead of, see, this kind of stuff bothers me because we go, oh, it's the child. It's the child. The child can't do it, so the child goes home. Is that the criteria that we're setting up? Because we're in deep doo-doo if that is the criteria we're setting up. The reality is that all kids are special, and all kids do have special needs, and all kids have the right to an education, in my opinion. Not all governments believe in that. And we have to decide as a nation here what we believe in, right? But there's a whole lot of people, and I was part of a discussion this morning on Facebook saying, you know, the problem here is that we haven't trained the teachers. When you give teachers good training and skills for dealing with behavior issues, this kind of stuff doesn't happen. Even when there are kids who have pretty tremendous issues. Now, there are some kids, and I'm in full agreement with this, there are some kids who are not ready to be in a mainstream classroom today. That does not mean we throw them away. Those kids can be pulled to the side and be put in a different classroom where they get a little less sensory overload, and we work on things and strategies, but we don't let them get away with behavior. That's not what IDEA stands for, but IDEA is there as a way to prevent us from throwing children away. I want to talk about an event that we were at this weekend that I think illustrates exactly what I'm talking about. We had a Sensitive Santa event where we invited children and their siblings to come to a sensory gym and they could play. So there was no waiting in line, because waiting in line can be very hard for our kids who are on the autism spectrum, especially when there's something exciting, right, to wait for Santa. And so they could play on equipment and work out their yayas, and then they got to come and be in the room with Santa. Now, you know, and we toned down the, you know, so there was minimal sound when you went into the room with Santa. We had some trees and we had some lights, but nothing was blinking. We allowed kids to take their time. We had some kids who came into the Santa room and they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. It was really, really hard. And they were really struggling. Now, if you think about the typical Santa experience, waiting in the line and then getting there and then getting put up on Santa's lap and they take the picture and it's 30 seconds and it doesn't matter whether you can do it and you're out, right? And we said, you know, this is a Sensitive Santa experience. We're not going to do it that way. We're going to give the kids time. But there were, and there were kids who needed, you know, 5 and 10 minutes before they could warm up to Santa, and that was fine, and we took the picture, and that was fine. There were some kids that, even then, it was a big struggle, that we took 15, 20, 25 minutes, and it was still, you know, not at a place where we were able to get the picture. Now, I tell you this because it would be all too easy. The easy route is to go, well, they can't do it, right? And a lot of people be like, well, you know, and that's too bad, but, you know, we're not going to hold up everything else for these couple of kids because they can't do it, right? But here's what happened. You know, we did our level best with those kids, and then we said, let's take a break and let's come at this again, because sometimes more opportunities help. And so we said to the people who brought those kids, we said, let them go play, and then before you leave, let's ask them if they want to come back in. And every single one of those kids came back in and eventually got a picture with Santa because we gave them more opportunity. Now, at the typical mall, none of our kids would have been able to have done it. And at our event, a lot of the kids with some extra time and help could do it the first time, but there were still more kids that needed the second time. So my question to you is, do you want to take away that from our kids? Would have been easy to go, oh, they can't do it. They can't do it. So let's give up on it, right? How many times have people given up on kids? And as somebody who loves children and knows that they grow up to be adults, I want to say to you, we have to stop that. It has never made any sense to me that a kid who misbehaves get sent home from school or get sent to another school. First of all, if you understand behavior and the reasons why people engage in behavior, it's ludicrous. Like, it's absolutely, you're, in a lot of cases, you're giving the child what they want. What you're saying to a child is, you know, I know you don't want to be at school, so all you have to do is X, Y, and Z, and you're out. This isn't right for neurotypical kids. You're saying that you want to put a system that, by the way, isn't working. Check your facts. Because expelling kids has never in any study been shown to make a difference in a kid's behavior. Why would it? Like, just think about it. Why would it make a difference? Oh, you yelled at the teacher and you called the teacher names and now you get to go home and sit and watch The Price is Right? And you're going to come back in 10 days, 45 days, whatever. And boy, we taught you a lesson. Yeah, we did. We taught you act up again and then you're out and you can go to a new school and try over there and then we'll kick you out of there. And eventually we'll lock you up in prison. You think I'm overreacting? Check the facts. Those are the kids who end up in prison after committing some heinous crimes. So what does work? All kinds of things. There are things that work that are not expulsion with kids who have behavior problems, disability or no disability. There's been a big study. We haven't had a chance to cover it here on the show yet, but schools that are putting in meditation and seeing a difference in behavior. I don't want to just leave this topic here without giving some real tools so that if somebody is watching this and going, okay, wait a second, maybe what she's saying makes a certain amount of sense, but how would we put that into practice? So I want to go over the four main reasons why we get challenging behavior and what we do to combat them that isn't expulsion and why that is such a recipe for disaster. And I want to say to everybody, don't give up on our kids. What Mr. Sessions, I know it sounds so reasonable. Let's just send these kids someplace else. They don't need to be mainstream. Let's put them over there because it's convenient for me. I really want to remind you that that's such a disservice. That would be like saying to the kids who couldn't do the Santa Claus thing, I'm sorry, you just don't get to sit on Santa's lap. Let me tell you how emotional and amazing it was when those kids were able to do it and the smiles that were on their face. My friends, that's how you change the world. How many of these kids do you want to give up on exactly? Because we shouldn't be giving up on any of them. So we don't blame the child. We certainly don't blame the parents, as somebody did on my Facebook this morning who said, oh, this is all the parents' fault. Oh, my friends, that is the very definition of ignorant. And we can't blame the teachers and say that they just don't care, because that's not it either. But if we don't give teachers tools, if we don't give them the skills, and let me just tell you, it's starting to be taught at the college level for teachers, but teachers that are in the classroom right now aren't people who have been in school in the last 10 years, because guess what? We laid all those people off. There are people in the classroom that have much more experience with classroom, but they don't have experience with the behaviors that they're seeing in the classroom. And I know firsthand, when you give them the training, and it's not hard, you give them the training that they need, we all get back to learning. But just sending them home, oh my goodness, this is not what anybody should be fighting for. So don't get confused on this. This is not right. This is not right for anyone. And we're not talking about letting them get away with behavior. We're talking about eliminating the behavior. Is that not a smarter thing? Okay, so we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to line out for you the four usual suspects of behavior, how we deal with it in the classroom, and how we turn this equation around. Stick with me.
Okay, you tune into the Community Living Show. You were host. You've been listening to Shannon Permpod. I probably made my mistake on that. But if you go to the website, www.autismlive.com, you can also join up the free newsletter. It's remarkable. We did an interview last week, and it was really extraordinary to hear her voice and talk about the things on autism we're talking today. So anyways, again, we will be right back in a moment. You're tuned into the Community Living Show. My name's Kelly Rayburn. And again, you're, and of course, you're on both radio stations, both on Co-op and CITR. We're on the full hour now on CITR 101.9 FM. And again, we will be back in a moment.
The Global Accessibility Awareness Day is on the third Thursday of May of every year. The community and campus stations across Canada are hosting inclusive radio about accessibility, self-advocacy, adapted technology, and more. Contact your local stations to find out more.
The most powerful motivational speeches that I have ever heard came from people who told me I couldn't do something. You know why? Because when they told me I couldn't do it, I was bound and determined to show them that I could.
All Access Pass is back for season 2. We are a collectively run weekly program that discusses equity, inclusion, and accessibility issues on and off UBC's campus, including both visible and invisible disabilities. Anyone can get involved. No experience is necessary. People of all abilities are welcome to join. Check us out on Facebook at All Access Pass or get involved by emailing accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
Rocket from Russia, weekly punk rock radio show on CITR, presented to you by Stomp Records from Montreal. Every Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. on 101.9 FM.
You're welcome. You're tuned into the Community Living Show here on the NCRA Radio Network's Community Living Show on both stations. We're now on the CITR version of the show, and we're going to conclude our Autism Live as of yesterday, as of November 30th. And again, you can join the conversation or join the Autism Live on Facebook, www.facebook.com/AutismLive. And of course, you can sign in the free newsletter at www.autism-live.com. And you can also check out centerforautism.com as well. Thanks for tuning into the show. And we're going to leave you one more song after the Autism Live is finished. I'm Kelly Rayburn on behalf of myself and Michael Rubin and Ben Rempre, who's going to be on next week. We wish you all the best, and you can always email us, communitylivingradio@gmail.com.
Welcome back. As I said, we're taking a special hour here to talk about some things that have been going on. I just was reading some comments by Jeff Sessions that were made in 2000. So I do want to cut some slack in terms of I hope that he has changed his mind about IDEA, because if you read his whole report, he feels like it's one of the biggest problems in the American school system, that IDEA is preventing us from being able to punish behavior out of children who are have any kind of special need or have any kind of challenging behavior, and specifically cites that we should be able to expel them and take them out of school, which we all know is a recipe for disaster. And that we shouldn't have a double standard, that we shouldn't be taking kids out of school when they have challenging behavior. We should find ways of changing the challenging behavior. One of the things that happened for me when I began to meet behavior analysts, people who are well-versed in ABA, I learned that it is never the child's fault. In fact, assigning blame for challenging behavior is futile. It's like going to the hardware store and looking for spaghetti and milk. Not wise, right? Instead, we need to take apart the behavior and figure out where have things gone awry. We talk a lot on this show about the ABCs of behavior. A, and this is for any behavior exhibited by anyone ever, right? There's always the A, which is the antecedent. Something happens, right? And then there is the B. The behavior happens as a result of whatever the antecedent was. And then there's the C, which is the consequence for the behavior. Now, in our society, really, if you think about this, we're all well-versed in this. We just don't think about it in terms of the ABC. We all engage in this 300 million times a day. And as teachers and as parents and other people, we certainly were all about that C, the consequence, because we have been raised and brought up in a society that's all about punishment. Well, punishment is a consequence strategy. And here's the thing about punishment. Sometimes punishment is effective, but so fewer times than we are led to believe, because we're immediate, like, let's punish that behavior. That'll change it. And yet we see that punishment is not an effective strategy when we really want to change behavior, except in very specific circumstances. And it has to be done in exactly the right way, because even if it would have been effective, if it's not delivered in the right way, it's not effective. What we find is effective much more often and requires much less expertise are strategies that are positive instead of punishing, right? And that we can eliminate a lot of challenging behavior by looking at what the antecedent is and changing the circumstances around the antecedent. That's actually really effective at changing a lot of behaviors. And some behaviors still are very effective with a consequence behavior, but what we find is giving a reward for good behavior, the absence of the challenging behavior, is much more effective than punishing consequences. And this is true in the classroom, okay? But a lot of times, because what we've been trained to is just punish, we don't even ask ourselves questions about, why is that behavior happening? Great book that I want to encourage anybody out there, parent, teacher, school administrator, mommy, I wish I could tell you what they did to me in school, Richard Stripp. Great book. Read it. It's very, very enlightening. And it really brings home, because a story is told about, I think it's 9 different children, and they tell you what happened at school, and it sounds horrible. You know, this child took off his shoes and he threw them at the teacher, and it sounds like, oh man, that's some challenging behavior, and you hear what happened as a consequence, right? But then Richard writes it from the point of view of the child, if the child had words to speak, and you go, oh, that's what was going on, right? And it really brings home that anytime there's behavior, there's something going on. In the case of the child taking and throwing his shoes, because he wasn't verbal and couldn't say, I have to go to the bathroom. And so nobody was listening to him, so all he had was his shoes to take his shoes and throw them. So we need to look at why behavior is happening. And the most basic principle is to understand that all behavior happens for a reason, especially if it's behavior that happens again and again and again. And you hear teachers talking realistically about kids who are in the classroom who are constantly doing challenging behaviors. So we know that there is a reason for that behavior, and it is almost always there is a form of a paycheck for the child or the person engaged in the behavior, and that's why they're doing it. Because otherwise, why would they, right? So, and we need to know what the paycheck is for that behavior, and we need to cut off the supply of that paycheck and have there be a different paycheck that goes for the appropriate behavior. I know it sounds ridiculously, stupidly easy. It isn't. Because it takes some finesse and some working and some trial and some error, and you have to kind of be Sherlock Holmes and you have to be willing to try stuff. But the fact of the matter is that's what works, not sending them home. And we'll talk about exactly why. So when we look at what the paycheck is for the behavior, there's a very specific way that we can do that professionally that's called an FBA, a functional behavior assessment. For anyone who is a parent who's watching, whose child is engaging in challenging behavior, don't hesitate right now. Send an email to your IEP team and say, I want an FBA done on this behavior. Legally, they have to do it. If you are a teacher and you've got somebody in your classroom who is exhibiting challenging behavior, request an FBA. so that they come in and they can find what the challenging behavior is. Because when you assume, you leave room for error, right? I always say, when our car breaks down and something isn't working in our car, we don't just start pulling things out and going, I'll try the whole thing and I'll do it myself, right? We take it to a mechanic. And what does the mechanic do? The mechanic says, I'm going to drive it around the block and I'm going to run some tests, some diagnostics, so I figure out what's going on, because I'm not going to pull out your carburetor unless I know that it's the carburetor. We want to apply those same standards to dealing with challenging behavior. But having said that, there are some smaller things that you can play with while you're waiting for an FBA with maybe other kids in the classroom to see how powerful this stuff is, okay? But first, we have to talk about what the four usual suspects are. There are four usual reasons why a child will engage in challenging behavior. And if you know what they are and how to react to them, it's the keys to the kingdom. The total keys to the kingdom. Okay, so the most often reason why kids will engage in challenging, and by the way, this is not just kids on the autism spectrum, this is all of us and all of our kids, all human beings, right? These are the four usual suspects. So the biggest one, the first one we want to talk about, is attention. People do things to get attention. Think about in the classroom, again, former teacher here, these are the kids who are throwing things, right? These are the kids who touch other kids. These are the kids who are cracking jokes. These are the kids who toss their books on the floor. These are the kids that are pests. And I call these kids the bucket half full kids. They are missing something. And we could talk about it endlessly about whose fault it is. The truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter. There are some kids that you never quite get their bucket all the way full. You're constantly having to put attention in it. But here's the deal. When you give those kids attention, they become the best kids in the classroom. You think I don't know what I'm talking about? I absolutely do. I remember after 9/11, when I went back into a high school setting to teach, after teaching college for years, and I said, I want to make more of a difference. And my first day there, one of the students, I was up in front of the class and lecturing, and I felt something go whoosh by my head, and I heard this thwack, and I turned around, and now there is a big crack in the center of my blackboard, my chalkboard, that wasn't there before, and there is a AA battery laying on the floor. Student in the back of the classroom threw a battery at my head so hard that it cracked the blackboard. And I was like, oh, well, that's some serious business, right? And, fast forward a year later, and that same student was on the honor roll. Same student was on the honor roll because I got some training and some help and support to realize that he believed that I was going to leave and it was just a matter of time, and he was going to hurry it up because everybody had left him his entire life. He wanted some attention, and he was going to get it as I left, and he was going to scare me. Except that I made the decision in that moment to react how you're supposed to react when somebody wants attention and engages in bad behavior. You don't give them what they want. So I glanced, I saw the blackboard, I saw the battery. I didn't bend over to pick it up. I just continued on. And I said nothing, did nothing. And on a different day, when he came into the classroom, I made him the project manager of something that we were doing in class. And I said, you're going to sit up here by me. And I gave him something so that he was busy and that I constantly had to check in with him. And I praised him every time he did something right. And in a year, he was on the honor roll. Now, I could have filed a report and, gotten him expelled. I'm 100% clear on that. And I can tell you exactly where he would be today, in prison, because that's where he was headed. So this is why this is so important to me. When our kiddos are doing things that are attention-driven, we don't ever give attention to the bad behavior. Now, I am not saying that you let them get away with things. If he had hit me with a battery, that would have been a different thing. If he had thrown something a second time, that would have been a different thing. I did show to, if he had hit another student, I could not have ignored that, right? I was okay. The blackboard wasn't. And in that moment, I made a judgment call and said, I know I can turn this around with some help. And I did get some help. And I think that that's an important key thing for teachers as well. But the point is, we don't give attention to the bad behavior because all that does is feed it, right? Instead, we give attention to anything that we can find that's good. And for people who think, oh, you're treating them like snowflakes, I just want to go to what is the goal. Do we want to have more people in the prisons, or do we want to have more productive people in society? And which one works? I know your mind goes, oh, he should have been punished. I get that. But to what end? You can't punish that kind of behavior out. If you could, there would be nobody in prison. And we know that's not the case. Mind shift. This works. It did work. He wasn't the only kid that I had problems with. I had a kid who would sit and he couldn't, I found out later on he couldn't read. So he would sit and he would do things and then he would crumple up papers and he would throw them. Now to me, that's an attention seeking thing. If you're throwing something across the room, you want to get caught. And so for that kid, I did a little bit of research and found out that he loved to draw. He had an A in art and was failing every other class. So you take that interest.
Okay, so we can't play anymore because we're pretty much out of time. But you can always check them out on Facebook, www.facebook.com/autismlive. And you can also check their video reports on their subject on YouTube, www.youtube.com/user/autismlive. That is it for the show here on the Community Living Show on the NCRA Radio Networks. Of course, please check, if you like what you hear, please email us, communitylivingradio@gmail.com. And again, on behalf of myself and the rest of the crew, we wish you a pleasant day and stay tuned for upcoming shows that are on the NCRA Radio Networks. And that's pretty much it. So we'll leave you with music. This one is Enya and a song called Anywhere Is from their album, The Very Best of, no, from The Memory of Trees. We will be back again next week. Take care. Bye-bye. Swept around and
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Hey, how you doing? This is Sean from Youth Brigade. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver.